covered by Gabby Marshall. Here comes Clark. How will she go for history?
She does it with a ball shot. Kayla Clark becomes the all-time leading scorer in major college basketball history, passing Pistol Pete Maravich.
With the first pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Indiana Fever select Caitlin Clark, University of Iowa.
Hello and welcome to Next 2.0 on WQLN PBS NPR. Next is produced by the Public's Voice Media. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, you can go to Facebook and like the page. You can also follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming show promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. You heard the sounds at the beginning during the intro of Caitlin Clark, one, breaking the all-time scorers mark for women's basketball, and then the second clip was her going the extra mile of becoming the lead scorer of all time in all of college basketball, men or women's, surpassing Pistol Pete Maravich for that record. And then obviously there was Caitlin Clark being drafted number one by the Indiana Fever at the WNBA draft this past week. I won't run down all the records that this young lady has broken this senior season that she just finished, although there were a lot of records that she broke from freshman year all the way up. She has really set a benchmark in college basketball. Let me be clear about this at the outset, is that there were a lot of women, I mean phenomenal women, that laid the groundwork for Caitlin Clark, that continue to lay the groundwork for not just Caitlin Clark, but for Angel Reese and all the rest of these ladies that are coming into the league. Some of these women are still playing in the WNBA, and I know it frustrates a lot of people that it feels like they have been forgotten and they haven't gotten their just due. Financially, we are in a different era, and that isn't a bad thing, all right? That isn't a bad thing. That's one of the things we want to analyze today. First of all, we've got a special guest who will be interviewed via Zoom here shortly, Miss Mashiya Williams, Erie's own, let me say, Mercyhurst High School standout, state championship winner several times over, goes to Penn State, becomes a standout basketball player there, and plays against and competes against many of the historic women that you hear about when they talk about some of the all-time greats in college women's basketball and in the WNBA. So I'm looking forward to you hearing the thoughts of Mashiya Williams. She actually lived this life, and she gives us her firsthand perspective. I want to start with the obvious, and that's the fact that Caitlin Clark is invoking a different reaction from America, if you will, that past athletes have received. And I know a lot of people are yelling, racism, racism, racism. Well, race is obviously a factor. Spin that however you want. I'm not going to sit here and debate good, but America has always been what America is. And Caitlin Clark, being a young white woman from middle America, who in every sense of the word, from her family to her physical presence, really fits the definition of an everyday all-American white girl. We'd be fools if we dismissed the fact that America isn't gravitating toward that. And that is pulling a lot of new basketball fans into the WNBA's orbit and into the orbit of women's basketball on a college level. And let me just say that if that's the reason for some people, then it is what it is. I'm a huge golf fan. I became a golf fan because of Tiger. I didn't give a damn about watching golf until that young brother started swinging that club. And it hooked a lot of people of color. That's the way it works a lot of times. And so I want to just own that, because I know the people will be yelling at the radio like, oh, they only doing this because she white. Well, that is a small portion of the narrative. I also have people saying, she's all hype. Shooting three pointers or threes from damn near half court is really hard to fake that. I'm a basketball coach on a JV level. It's hard to fake that and to, you know, somehow have some sort of gimmick that helps you make half court shots damn near on a consistent basis. So she's a legitimate basketball player. I get some of the pushback that we hear, even some of the pushback that we hear from WNBA players. You know, it didn't go unnoticed that when they showed the Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi show and they were commentating on some of these college games, Diana Taurasi made it very, very clear, I'm not feeling this chick. Might not even like her, I don't know. But in terms of the Caitlin Clark buzz and hype, Diana Taurasi made it clear, I'm not up with it. As a matter of fact, one part when Sue Bird was like, who would you take first in the draft, you know, her or Paige Beckers? And she was like, I'm rocking with Paige. And she went back and she drank her drink. And she isn't the only one. And listen, that's human nature. When you have women, because Diana Taurasi is one of my favorite college players of all time, one of my favorite WNBA players. When you have players that have just rocked it and have represented at the highest level, and now you see these young players receiving accolades, especially Kate, receiving accolades at the level that they're receiving it, I get it. I get the frustration. But at the same time, I think we want to make an argument today for at least leading up to Mashiach's interview for the practicality of what we see going on. Let's look at some of the information that we see circulating around the league with the WNBA. There was a post from Front Office Sports that says the Las Vegas Aces have announced a venue change for their July 2nd game against the Indiana Fever. Michelob Ultra Arena, where they currently play, has 12,000 seats. They are moving this game to the T-Mobile Arena that holds 20,000 seats. They need 8,000 more seats to prepare themselves for what they believe is going to be a stampede of fans coming to watch the Indiana Fever play. You go back to the airing of the television rights or the airing the television games for the Indiana Fever. A friend of mine from the newspaper, Kevin Flowers, he posted this, and it says, last season, the Indiana Fever won just 13 games and was one of the WNBA's worst teams. But the Fever have the top pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Obviously, this was before the draft. The team is expected to draft Caitlin Clark, which they did. And this upcoming season, 36 of the Fever's 40 games are scheduled to be nationally televised. Let that sink in. 36 of the Fever's 40 games. Some perspective to that. The Vegas Aces are the two-time defending WNBA champions. They're scheduled to be on national television 35 times this season. Okay? Dramatic, dramatic leap. And so I remember Jamie Foxx saying something one time, and I thought it was a deep and profound response when he was asked, in his opinion, who is the greatest comedian of all time? And this interviewer said, obviously, many people feel it's Richard Pryor. Some would say Eddie Murphy. I'm just going to throw those two names at you, he said. What do you make from that? And Jamie Foxx said, Richard Pryor is the GOAT. Eddie is the comedian that made Hollywood pay up. Let me say that again. Richard Pryor is the GOAT. Eddie Murphy is the comedian that made Hollywood pay up. And he went on to say that for that reason, we all owe a debt of gratitude to Eddie Murphy. He said, if it wasn't for Eddie Murphy, I couldn't get the checks that I'm getting. Kevin Hart couldn't get the checks that he's getting. Cat couldn't get the checks that he's getting. Eddie broke the bank open and said, share the wealth. I say that to you, and I don't know if this is how it will turn out. but I'm just submitting to you the possibility that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, for that matter, right behind her, they may end up playing a similar role in the WNBA. If you don't want to subscribe to the fact that Caitlin Clark is the greatest of all time, and it's early for that, certainly in college, she's one of the greatest of all time, just like Coach Staley said, that much is true. But if you want to subscribe to the fact that she is the greatest of all time, perhaps you can think about and agree to the fact that maybe she's the player that is the catalyst to the financial disparities between the WNBA and the NBA, women's college basketball, men's college basketball, catching up with one another. Let me read you something the other day that I was going through. And it's a lot of outrage being sparked right now on the internet. Obviously, we just passed the NBA draft. Caitlin was chosen number one. And the minute she signed that contract, the terms of said contract went viral. Rightfully so. And again, we know that the women have been underpaid for a long time. But if this is the flashpoint, then so be it. It gives the details of her contract. Her four-year deal is worth a total of $338,056. In 2024, she'll earn $76,535. In 25, it'll be $78,066. And in 26, it'll be $85,873. In 27, she has an option for $97,582. Let the crowd react to that. Yeah, I know. So let's do a comparative analysis, and you'll probably boo even more. Victor Wembanyama, who was the number one pick in last year's NBA draft, is playing under a four-year, $55 million contract in which he earned $12.1 million in his first season, according to SportTrack. Yeah. This isn't good. Now, I know if the financial analysts were on the show, we would hear all kinds of conversation about viewership and attracting sponsors and things along those lines. And listen, in large part, they would be correct. Because at the end of the day, as the great poets Wu-Tang once said, cash rules everything around us. Cream get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. That's what it all comes down to. Now, can there be an argument made that perhaps there wasn't as much emphasis and effort put towards women's basketball? I don't know. I'd love to see somebody produce the numbers on that or produce some sort of narrative on that. That's a possibility. What I do know is this is the first time I recall the salaries of these women going viral immediately after the draft. And so, again, I submit to you, is this a flashpoint that the WNBA and, moreover, the women that make up the WNBA can exploit? I know when you look at the NIL deals of Caitlin Clark, the 11 known NIL deals that she has right now is worth roughly $3.1 million. She's killing her salary already, so she's bringing that $3.1 million bag with her. That bag will grow. One of those sponsors is State Farm. You see that the draft was sponsored by State Farm. Your boy Jake was sitting right in there, second or third row, behind the families, chilling. He takes a picture with Caitlin Clark. And so that's already starting to bubble up. Angel Reese's NIL deals are roughly worth $1.8 million. That bag is sure to grow, especially since she'll be in Chicago with Camilla Cardoso. People are already posting memes comparing that to Tim Duncan and David Robinson. You know, I myself, full disclosure, shame to say it, my 10-year-old son, who is a basketball player and a basketball fan of all basketball, we have been scouring the net for tickets. And it'll be my first WNBA game. Shame to say it. But it's a moment that we all need to embrace. Now, we've got to stand out from right here. Kaylin McBride, that's been killing it in the WNBA. And, you know, she's got ties to my family personally. It's been a personal goal of mine to get out and see Kayla play. Full disclosure, and that's the truth. And, you know, the effort just hasn't been there. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, let me get online and look for tickets. And that's raggedy. But it's what all of America's doing right now. And so, again, whatever gets them off the couch, gets them off the couch. And let's hope that this moment can be one that women can take advantage of forever and always. Listen, I want to go to this interview with Mashiya Williams. She gives us her perspective. She talks about what she sees in Caitlin Clark. She talks about what she sees in the game and the WNBA. She gives us some of her own story about some of these icons she played against during her days in college and even when she went overseas. And I think it's an interview that you will enjoy. And so I bring you Mashiya Williams. At what point did you realize, you know, I think I can use this ball to go to the next level? I might be able to transition into a college athlete. When did it dawn on you that you could take it beyond just high school?
Honestly, when I think back at it now, I was just playing because I loved the game. I liked to win. And then it finally dawned on me probably like my sophomore year of high school. Like, I wasn't even thinking about playing in college in elementary school, middle school. I was thinking about going out, win these games with my friends and have fun.
Right. <you know? laughs> Right. It was pure. It was just basketball.
And I just wanted to be one of the best to do it in my area because, like I said, we're all competitive. So I'm out there every day working on my game and trying to get better. Because I want to beat my friend across the field because he dogged me out last week.
Yeah.
You know? So that's when it kind of hit me. I was playing AAU. I played AAU since the fifth grade was my first year playing AAU. It was a lot different than it is now. Usually it was one or two teams in your age bracket for each city. Now there's like 15 teams in the city, you know? So it was the best of the best in your city. You had to go out there in trials and prove yourself in order to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
So in fifth grade, I started playing AAU. Darlene Feeney, she used to work at Piper Burley. I went to Piper Burley. She is our coach, fourth and fifth grade, and she seen something in me that, I mean, I had no clue. I would, like I said, I was just going out there having fun. She talked to my mother and was like, hey, I think Mashiya would do great with this program. And it was the Erie Saints. So I tried out. I made the team. Kept going back. It was fun. A lot of people in the community helped me out because it was, you know, it was a financial burden. My mom was a single parent of five kids. So my church, Second Baptist Church, helped donate it. I remember Mel Weatherspoon, he helped in any way he could. A lot of community members was like, if you need help, they will try to help or they will reach out to someone that they know could help. I'm not saying they threw out thousands of dollars to me and my parents didn't do nothing. No, I'm not saying that. But if we needed, say, the hotel cost $100 and we did some fundraising. People will help me fundraise for my season.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with all Erie Saints, and then I figured out I can play college about my sophomore, junior year, about my sophomore year, mm-hmm. I would say. I felt like my game took it a turn for the better.
Yeah.
It was like a switch went off, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
A switch went off for me. I felt like I got a lot better. I felt like I got quicker. And the game just came a little bit easier for me. And then I was getting letters from college coaches. We ended up winning two state titles at Mercier's. And, you know, I felt like I was at the top of the world at this time, you know. All these people want me to come to their school. I'm just a 18-year-old kid from the 17th Street Projects, was trying to just do something in my life.
Yeah.
I always knew I wanted to go to college, but it didn't click for me athletically until about the end of my freshman and sophomore year in high school.
So you played a legitimate D1 program. Talk about that leap and what it felt like when you first started playing against ladies that were of a similar caliber, if not higher than yourself.
Mm-hmm. So my junior year, going into my sophomore junior year, I end up switching AAU programs, and I end up, me and Chelsea Gordon and Aaron Kerner, we would drive down to Pittsburgh and play for the Western PA Bruins. We made the team. Well, I mean, they asked us to come play for the team, and that is when I first got my real taste of people on my level.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Not only in games that we play, but in practice too. Because everybody on our team went Division I. So we used to practice. They used to bring guys into practice. Anybody they can find that would play against us, we used to practice against them. And then we went to national tournaments. Our last year, we lost in the elite game. So we ended up finishing to the national championship team in our age bracket, in that 17U age bracket. So we finished ninth in the country that year. And I guess that's when I got my real first taste before college of what it is like of talented women that's playing basketball in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The gyms used to be packed with coaches from everywhere, all over the country. And then I committed to Penn State University. I went there. I would say the first thing that took me out by surprise, though, was that conditioning program.
Mm. They put it on you, didn't they?
That was a whole nother level. That was a whole nother level that I was not expecting. Like, I never been the type of person that would get tired easily. I didn't have a problem with lifting weights. I decided to go to Mercier's because, like I said, I knew I wanted to go to college before I got to high school. And I felt like that would be the best option to prepare me academically.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was ready academically. But man, when I got that packet about almost an inch thick of conditioning and lifting, I was like, I don't know what I got myself into, but I was out there every day. Before I left, I went down there in June for summer school before my official first semester. So we did a session of summer school. They brought all my freshman class in so we can get acclimated to college.
Yeah.
College basketball. So that was a wake up call.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were getting up for 6 a.m. workouts on the track, lifting, eating breakfast, going to class, and then we coming back to do our individual workouts. And then once everybody got back to school, that added team workouts too. So it was exciting. Like I said, I first got that packet, I was a little nervous, but when I got into the groove of things, I was excited.
Nice.
Honestly.
Nice.
Like, I love competition. So I knew that by me going there, I was going to get better.
So let me stick with that competition theme before we segue into talking about these finals and the legacy of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and some of these standouts that we witnessed this year. And, you know, like so many other Americans and people across the world, were just in awe of some of the talent that we saw. Give us that basketball player that you competed against in any of those 4 years that just left you like, wow, she can ball.
I would say one of the people that stand out the most to me is Tina Charles from UConn.
Okay.
We ended up playing them. It was a breast cancer tournament. It was at Madison Square Garden. and it was four teams, and we were playing against UConn. They were, at the time, nationally ranked. I think they were, like, second, if not first. And she was just dominant. I'm like, you know me, I'm getting after our post players. And I'm like, yo, y'all going to box her out? Why is she getting all these rebounds? She was just another animal. You know, Maya Moore was on team.
Oh, man, okay.
Renee Montgomery is on the team. But Tina Charles was just an animal down there. I played against a lot of players, but she has that stamp in my head because she was just every rebound, every shot they missed, she was grabbing that board.
Mm-hmm.
I played my freshman year. One more player I'll get you to. My freshman year, we played Duke, and I was guarding Monique Curry. She is a senior. I was a freshman.
Oh, wow.
You know? So, me, like I said, I'm competitive, right? She coming on the court. She doing her thing. She's a great player. But I'm not going to let you do what you want to do to me. That's right. What I'm thinking in my head. I don't care if I'm a freshman, sophomore, senior. We both step on this court. We both between these four lines. So, I'm going to give you everything I got. And I remember she tried to talk a little junk to me, it was hilarious. And I ain't gonna say what happened, but we ended up losing. I mean, not by much. They only beat us by 1 point that
right.
game. But she was really good. That was my first. I think we played them like the second game of my college career.
Yeah.
And those two stand out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But Tina Charles is an animal.
Got you. So this season, so the tournament rolls in this season, and even leading up to the tournament, there was so many storylines. You're talking about playing the AAU ball. They're showing photos of Paige Beckers, who I'm a big fan of, and Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark, you know, battling each other when they were young bucks, and you know they showed a post of Paige Beckers when she was in sixth grade, and the person was like, this may be the best sixth grade girl I've ever seen in my life. And of course she goes on to greatness. You look at Juju Watkins, you know, over at USC. You just had all of these storylines, the greatness of South Carolina, Dawn Staley's phenomenal record as a coach, the player that she was as a player. I'm a huge Dawn Staley fan from when she played for Virginia. She was just a beast. You know, what's going through your mind as you're watching this season unfold and as we're going into the tournament, and then as the tournament starts to play out, how are you reacting to this as a fan and as a former player?
You know, as a fan and a former player, I felt like this year was very special. So, I mean, I'm a fan of basketball. I've been watching college basketball, women's basketball. You know what I mean? If we can't support ourselves, I don't know who will.
Right.
But to see how far of a reach it has gotten this year, I hear grown men, 50-some years old, talking about the girls' games. They ain't even watching the guys' games,
yeah.
Right? So that's kind of like blew my mind at first. I'm like, I kind of look sideways when I'm down the street. Y'all see this game? I'm like, oh, y'all watching these games?
Yeah, it's like that this year. It's like that this year.
So, these games, the women's basketball, have been having amazing players for years. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you were a fan of Dawn Staley. They had the Cheryl Swoops, the Dawn Staleys, the Rebecca Lobo, the Lisa Leslie.
Shamequa Holzclaw, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
I can go on and yeah. I can name names.
There's a lot of
mean?
Them.
There have been a lot of great, phenomenal women basketball players throughout the years that have built this game to become what it is now.
Right.
And to see what is going on this year with the tournament and sold out crowds and everybody chiming in, to be honest, I've been waiting for this to happen for a long time.
Right.
You know, it's exciting. I'm happy that women's basketball is starting to get the recognition that it deserves. I believe that it has been overlooked at a lot of times, but I'm happy. I'm happy that the game is getting this recognition. I'm happy that all these news outlets. But I will say one thing. People need to understand that it's entertainment, right? So what the news may tell you and what the news portray don't mean how that person is.
Yeah.
So I recently posted a video. It was actually Matt Barnes talking about Angel Reese, how the media has portrayed her as a villain, right? So a lot of people don't like her because of that, because of what the media say.
Right.
They have to realize this is a business. This is now a business. These college athletes are now getting paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have all these deals. The media is trying to feed you what they want you to hear to make you watch it, which please watch it.
Yeah.
Because best believe when these women step off the court, they still going to say good game. They probably going to be teammates next year.
Yeah.
You know, they just all competitive. It's a competitive sport. One thing he said again, like, everybody getting on these women, these girls for talking junk to each other. Men been talking junk to
forever.
Each other. Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forever. It's a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a basketball game. Everybody's competitive. Everybody trying to win. And that's what people need to remember when they're watching these games. But I am really excited for what has happened. Like, when I seen that stat of almost 15 million people watch the Women's College Championship.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
That is crazy. In a good way, in all the best ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, there we go. Now, I just hope that people are going to keep watching, like you said, because they're still Juju Watkins. There's still a lot of young freshmen, young girl from South Carolina. Like, she put on a show.
She sure did.
Right? So I hope people stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
I hope people still support. I hope people start going to games.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole different atmosphere from when you're physically there than just watching on TV. So
yeah.
I would say if you get a chance to attend a high-level D1 basketball game, go, because it's a great atmosphere.
So, Michelle, let me ask you this. Let me get your take on Caitlin Clark in particular, because as I listen to the debate from former basketball players, current WNBA players, male and female commentators, I mean, it runs the gamut, and it doesn't help. I mentioned a little bit in the intro, it doesn't help that we are in this polarized society when it comes to politics, and especially since the rise of the former president, he really unleashed a divisiveness in this country that I think has always existed beneath the surface, and he's just kind of exploited it. Everything gets turned into these tribal, you know, moments. And I think about last year when Angel Reese and LSU beat Iowa, and the First Lady Jill Biden invited Iowa to the White House as well. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Since when are the second place teams invited? And there was obviously some of that in society. There is, you know, this narrative of, hey, these are some sweet little white girls from Middle America. And there is a little extra shine for some people because of that. But that's got nothing to do with the game. Talk about Caitlin Clark just as a player and give me your personal assessment on how great she is in your opinion and where you think she fits in the conversation of all-time collegiate greats, because certainly she's earned the right to be able to be judged on that level at the very least.
Yeah. And in my opinion, just basketball-wise, Caitlin Clark is a hell of a player. You know, she can just outright score. She's a baller.
Yeah.
And I feel like people got to give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're black, white, green, purple. You can play basketball. You can play basketball in my book. The things she do on the court, yes, she's a 3-point shooter. But when you're taking away that three, she's driving to the lane, she can finish, right? You double teaming her, she know exactly where to put the ball at for her teammates. So she, in my book, she's just not strictly a shooter, right? She distributes the ball well. She finishes well. She's a leader out there on the court. Whether she wasn't shooting the ball, scoring, and just dishing, or being a facilitator on the court, there's different ways to lead your team.
Yeah.
And she, I believe this year, she led Iowa in all aspects. And I don't know if anybody else can, if anybody else can all, like, argue any different. She was the coach. She was the general on the court, period.
Yeah, she was. I heard one former basketball player say that unless she wins a championship at the college level, she can never be considered the greatest or one of the greatest. You agree with that?
Do I personally think she's the greatest? No. Will I consider her to be one of the greats of women basketball? Absolutely. Because basketball is a team sport.
Yep.
Okay? Everybody talk about Jordan's the GOAT, right? Jordan had Pippen, Steve. He had people there, right? If he had an off night, they contribute on a consistent basis. She has some people that contribute, right? But the women's game is just a little bit different than men.
Yeah.
It's more of a team atmosphere, more of you have to have at least three people consistent. They can't get in foul trouble because they got to go out, right? They can't get tired. Nobody can play 100% for 40 straight minutes. It's impossible. You can be – I was in the best shape of my life in college, right? But when you play top team after top team after top team, you eventually – you're going to get tired because you got to give 100% on defense. You got to give 100% on offense. You mentally gotta be strong, right? So it's just a constant thing, and you gotta have multiple people. You gotta have a bench too. You gotta have people that can come off the bench and produce, whether it's points or rebounds, or that can dish, like do the non-tangible things. And I feel like Iowa didn't have enough of those people this year.
Yeah, yeah, especially going against a buzzsaw like South Carolina, because you talk about depth. I mean, South Carolina, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but South Carolina just had so much depth, and it's really, exactly, you know, pick your poison. How do you want us to beat you?
Exactly. Right? Like they can have somebody come off the bench dropping 20 and getting 10 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So every team was not equipped with that.
Right, right.
You know? So, I mean, I'm a big South Carolina, I'm a big Dawn fan. I like South Carolina's game, but I think, go back to what you were saying, like, I think Caitlin Clark is a great player. I think she is one of the best women's basketball player. I'm not saying the best. I'm not saying top five. But she put an imprint on the game.
Right.
She's a great player. And I'm going to give respect where respect is due.
Yeah.
Until somebody knock her off that great list. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Level Up real quick, and I appreciate this. It's a good interview. Let's talk about the Level Up. She goes to the WNBA already. One of the things that I'm intrigued by is the fact that, I mean, just I've always loved sports because the natural storylines that play out are oftentimes better than any script you could ever write. And I love the way that everything ended like an inverted version of last year. And so you had Iowa beating South Carolina and then going on to play LSU, and then LSU beats Iowa. This year was the opposite all the way around, you know.
Yep.
And you got Aaliyah Boston who gets beat by Caitlin Clark in her senior season. Now Caitlin Clark is about to go play with Aaliyah Boston.
That's what I'm telling you.
You know what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And so with the rise of NIL and the popularity of the game growing, and as I'm listening to Diana Taurasi and other players, you got some people that's like, yes, this is our moment. You got other people, there's a little bit of resentment, you know, because the money's different. And, you know, I know there were a lot of pioneers, as you pointed out earlier, rightfully so. A lot of pioneers helped build this game. And it's a shame that the money just wasn't there for those pioneers like there is for Angel Reese and Juju Watkins and all these other young bucks. They're killing it with these endorsement deals.
They're millionaires.
Oh, man, they're killing it. And so give me your synopsis. Give me your prediction of how you think this will play out as Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese transition into the WNBA from a game perspective. And how do you think it's going to play out on the business side? Is this the tipping point where the WNBA starts to see a bigger bag for all the sisters? What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's the tipping point where everybody gonna get a bigger bag. Like, it gotta be years of more revenue.
Got it.
Years of more viewership, years of people going to the game. It gotta be years of more endorsements. It would take years for them to do that. Cause like, it's a business,
right?
Everybody wants to make money. Far as Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese's transition to the NBA, it's definitely going to need to be adjustments made. Because now you're not just, I mean, there's a billion college teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
WNBA, you got the, what they say, the best of the best.
Yeah.
Right? So you're not going against old girl from North Dakota somewhere, you know? You're going against the best of the best that usually America and Europe has to offer.
Because
now you got those European players over here too. Where
excellent point.
Not be. So
excellent point.
Their game is going to take an adjustment. It might be a half a season, might be a whole season, might be two seasons, depending on how fast you can adjust. Every player is different. But I think Caitlin Clark defense is going to have to strongly improve.
Mm-hmm.
She can score, but that when it comes down to it, when you're on this bigger stage now in the WNBA and everybody can score, you got to have more of an all-around game on defense as well. Because if you can give 20, but if you giving up 25, what you doing for your team? That's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I think any level change, whether it be from high school to college, college to professional, there's going to be adjustments. Like, even for me, when I went to go play in overseas, like, there was just an adjustment because they just played totally different. They let you be more physical. They don't call all the travels. You know? So, it was just an adjustment.
Yeah.
I think they let us get beat up a little bit more because we're from America, but you, I don't know. It was an adjustment, right? So it depends on how quickly you can make that adjustment. Now, with them being elite athletes, they might be able to make that adjustment fairly quick. Some people transition from college to professional leagues easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some it takes time and they have to grow and build on that.
Yeah, it really does depend on the player, because I know this debate was raging about LeBron when he came out. You know, he's the chosen one. He's this, he's that. And I know I was anxious to see it, like, okay, is he going to live up to the hype? And he was one of those rare talents where from the door – like, let's get it.
He did it
right from the door. So I get it.
And he was 18.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like you said, everybody's not built like that. Let me hit you one last question, and I appreciate your time because I know I didn't want to hold you this long, but I've been enjoying this interview. In your opinion, how should the WNBA as a business capitalize on this moment? It's been their fair share of criticism for the WNBA in terms of how they market the game, what they do, what they don't do. How do you think they should lean into this moment to start maximizing on it so that, as you pointed out, we can over time start growing the game, because it does feel like a flashpoint of opportunity.
To me, now I don't know the ins and outs of the WNBA on the business level, but I felt like a great time to be pushing it and advertising and marketing and everything was definitely very pivotal during the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because everybody talking about these players going to the WNBA and what they're going to do and blase, blase. I feel like I don't even know if I seen one commercial about the WNBA during the tournament.
Mm, that's a good point. That is a good point. Now that you mentioned it, I don't know if I have either.
You know, so put it out there.
Yeah.
At least have the girls doing a little video, ball handling, shooting, whatever. Come catch us this summer, June 2024, something, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Like, put something out there. Let people know, because it was a lot of new viewers tuned in to the women's basketball tournament this year that have no idea about the WNBA, don't know when the season start, probably don't even know who the teams are.
Yeah.
So I felt like that mark was missed, or maybe I just missed it. I ain't see it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could have been, they should have been putting stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Catch these girls this summer.
That's right.
Here. Bow, bow, bow. You know, so I think they're going to have to definitely do a lot more marketing, a lot more advertising about things happening at the game to get the crowds to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it out there. Put it out there. I tell you, I remember, go ahead.
I remember growing up, like when they used to have the Cleveland Rockets, right? So we used to hear stuff here in Erie, come to the Cleveland Rockets game. You know, I'd started playing basketball. Of course I want to go to a professional basketball game. So they had those advertisements and like ticket sales, blah, blah, blah. I was lucky enough, my grandma was able to take me to a game.
Yeah.
But I don't hear, I mean, we don't have one very close to here, but I feel like that was a thing that was missed during tournament. That mm-hmm. advertisement, those commercials, something could have been there.
Agreed. Well, listen, Mashiah Williams, I appreciate your time and talking about the game, bringing your experience to the microphone. I got a chance to watch you from afar as you were developing as a young player, so I was kind of excited about getting a chance to sit down and fill in some blanks myself, man, just about your career and to get your opinion on everything that's going on with the women's game today. So thank you for spending time with us.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope I enlighten you a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, wasn't that a great interview? Solid young lady. That's it for our show today. Tune in next time for more discussion and analysis with local and national guests. I need you to remember that Next 2.0 streams on Fridays on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN PBS NPR, which is 91.3 FM. Remember the new feature, especially with a show like this. You want to leave a message or a comment or a suggestion for the show? I know I didn't read all of Clark's stats. I didn't really get into Angel Reese because I wanted to streamline the show. I didn't get into the many other women of the game right now. I didn't get into the fact that there are freshmen killing it in college basketball and every level in between. And so it looks like the WNBA is going to have an influx of solid talent for the foreseeable future. I didn't touch on all of those things. If you want to leave a message or a comment that will add to the show, you can call our next hotline at 814-240-8816. 814-240-8816. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Marcus Atkinson. Come and join us again so that you can hear about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Peace.